Welcome to Men Alive, a biblical journey to help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Paul Estabrooks. Our teacher is my longtime friend, Dr. Jim Cunningham, consultant in adult education, director of Go Teach Global, and author of the book Men Alive.
On today's program, we have a special guest, Steve Wilson. Steve is a beloved brother in Christ and a board member of Go Teach Global and a longtime friend. Steve has gone through the pain and the anguish of losing his wife Lois to a brain aneurysm some 3 years ago. He's sitting here with me today to share some of the lessons learned in this journey of grief and loss and recovery, to be able to share these things with the men who are listening. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you being open and vulnerable about the most difficult loss many men will ever face, the loss of the wife of your youth. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for inviting me here to share.
Great to have you here, Steve. We followed your journey of grief, loss, and recovery with our prayers these past years since the loss of your wife, Lois.
So this is not an experience that's unique to me. Many men have gone through the painful journey of deep loss. And so I pray that my words today are an encouragement and an encouragement from a brother in Christ.
At this moment, Steve, you're living on your own. So let's begin with a bit of a review for our listeners. Just tell us what happened.
Okay. It's the evening of January the 8th. Lois had the car that day and was coming to pick me up. We had carpooled together that day, and I was actually waiting outside for her when she arrived, but quickly realized that something was not right. The car kind of crawled into the parking lot and rolled into the curb at the end of the parking lot. She looked at me, but wasn't able to do anything. She couldn't unlock the doors or open the doors. They had automatically locked, so I couldn't get in. And so kind of a panic shot through me and tried to figure out how to get the doors open and get the doors unlocked. And finally, something happened. I was able to get in. So I put the car in park and realized that she couldn't speak. She couldn't lift her arms. And I quickly decided I needed to get her to the hospital. But I needed to get her from the driver's seat and into the back seat. And so I'm able to do that and then got to the hospital as quickly as I could. And when I went in, the security guard realized something was going on and saw the panic and asked me what was wrong. And I told him that I thought my wife was having a stroke. And nurses were at the car almost immediately. And she was rushed into the emergency room. And I went and parked the car and rushed back in. And on my way through the doors, one of the nurses there that night was from our church. Their shift was just finishing, but he stayed with us for 6 hours. Lois went through a number of tests, and I remember turning to him and saying, "I need to call the kids, right?" And he nodded. So after all those tests, Lois was eventually transferred to the ICU, and about an hour later, the doctor sat with us and told us that she had had what they called a catastrophic injury, and my world went dark.
I remember that time, Steve. When Rita and I came to the hospital, your family was there. And you were being well looked after by hospital staff. I could see that. But you looked at me and you said, "Come with me, Jim and Rita." And you took us on an elevator up to the intensive care unit. And there was Lois, attached to a life support machine that kept her heart pumping blood and her lungs breathing. Rita, as you know, is a nurse and she's familiar with this equipment. But for me, it was a shock. To know Lois and then to look at her now, she just looked like she was asleep, breathing, and her body was warm.
Yeah, it was like waiting for her to wake up, but she was gone. You see, Lois was an organ donor, and so the hospital time was prolonged, and they did more tests to make sure that her organs were viable and donatable. The last walk in the hospital was with my kids as we accompanied her into the OR room, and it was actually for life-saving surgery. It's just that it wasn't Lois's life that was being saved. When the news broke of Lois's passing, I was immediately surrounded by family, my brother and other friends, and you were one of those who came, Jim. So I need to say to the listeners, when you hear that a close friend has experienced a loss, just go. Don't talk yourself out of it. Yeah. Even a quick moment of physically being there is very helpful. You don't have to say anything. I was in such a state of shock and in fog and haze, I remember nothing of what was said, but I remember that people were there.
Steve, who were your primary support people?
In the haze and fog of those early days, Grant and Rick and Doug carried me.
Steve, this life-changing event happened during a time of pandemic. Worst possible time, I guess, for lockdowns and isolation. How did you deal with the loneliness and isolation and possible anger during COVID of just not being able to get out, to meet, to visit, to have people in? How did grieving continue through that process?
Never having been there before, just COVID was just a thing I was in. But there's a few interesting things that happened. So my friend Rick, who had lost his first wife, gave me a blank journal, and he encouraged me to simply write and pour out what I was feeling and going through. And I have legendary, terrible handwriting, so I actually can't read the first 10 pages of what I wrote in that book. But being able to do that really connected my hand to my heart and was able to pour out. I remember stumbling upon YouTube programs, nice music, nice scenery, and scripture along themes of hope and comfort and mercy. And as I faded in and out of the haze, being very appreciative of somebody else doing that work so that people like me going through that didn't have to do the heavy lifting of trying to find those scriptures. Then I remember going through Grief Share, which was really helpful in a few ways. It helped me think. But it was the testimonies of the people who were the experts who had also been through loss and grief. Mm. So they are speaking from their heart as well as their head. One of them talked about grief as being an emotional concussion, and that immediately struck me because I've cracked my head a number of times, and so there was a familiarity to that. But it was also the facilitator sharing his own story of recovering from his grief, and he had actually run over his little girl. And it cost him a lot. And it was intervention by his family and friends that rescued him. And one of those visions that he had in that recovery process for him was when he read the words about Jesus weeping with Lazarus, he was able to picture Jesus with him, crying with him, holding his little girl. That took me to that ICU room. And knowing that Jesus wept with me was remarkable. You look back and see the little steps, and they add up to helping you get through those times.
You are listening to Men Alive, and our special guest today is Steve Wilson, who's sharing with us his grief process after losing his wife, Lois.
Maybe this would be a good time to ask, from what you've gone through in the last 3 years, what are some of the good things that people did to help you walk through that? You mentioned your brothers and you mentioned friends. What are some positive things?
Well, I'm amazed that people stepped up and cared for me and helped for me, and I didn't realize it till I looked back. Somehow there was always food in my fridge and in my freezer. There was always coffee in the jar, and I'm pretty sure it was Doug. So people stepped up like they were just there. The isolation was harder, but I remember trying desperately to figure out how to help my kids. And in the isolation, it was hard. And so I was assured somehow in the core of who I was that if I was being cared for, they were as well.
Steve, what gives you hope, courage, and strength to carry on?
Well, there sure were a lot of tough days. I wanted to run away, but I couldn't run away from what I was in or dealing with. And God used a lot of people who expressed their love and care. Having the kids and grandkids around, I just can't say enough about that. And it was the handful of guys that carried me. The church family loved me for sure and cared for me. Workmates who were there and welcomed me back. And as I look through that journal that Rick gave me and I see those small steps, it's amazing how far the Lord has brought me through. Like I said before, even though I'm actually unable to really read the first few pages of my writing, I know the Lord can. There's no shortcuts. There's no magic formulas. The only way forward is through it. And you go through that time of what I call my bewilderness. And the truth is that we are not alone, despite feeling desperately alone. In those moments, that's what helps us take the next step.
There are many verses in the Bible that support the care of widows and fatherless, but through this experience, Steve, have you considered what the Bible says regarding widowers?
For me, the church was the church for me. No one asked. They stepped up in all kinds of ways. The care on so many levels was great. And even though in my fog I didn't see it at the time, I look back and see how crucial that help was and that care was. So James talks about pure religion and being undefiled before God and talks about to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. simply being with somebody who's lost a loved one. And visiting is important, and it's simply being there. And it's challenging to do that, but it's challenging to live alone again and to not feel lonely. And it's the aloneness that's hard. And of course, some times are harder than others. Sundays were hard because Lois worked at the church. She was in the church office for a number of years. And so while the support of the church was phenomenal and priceless, going to church alone was really hard. It was a big adjustment. You know how deep this is for me. I haven't been able to sing for 3 years. Mm-hmm. You can't prepare for that. You grasp God's grace in different ways as well. And you know it's there for you. You have enough grace for what today has for you. You can't store up more for what's coming or what you think you might need to prepare for. But he gives you what you need for the day. And you don't see that until you look back. And there's certainly some days that are harder than others. For me, it's the grandkids' birthdays.
Steve, I want to thank you for your openness and sharing with us. I know there's many men listening to this who have gone through this experience and are hearing your words and understanding exactly what you mean. There's others like me who have not gone through this. But like I've said before, my thinking, it's on the horizon for each of us. And one of the lasting impressions of your funeral service for Lois was your choice of an opening song called Even If by the group called Mercy Me. The song is based on the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they said to the king who was going to throw them into the fiery furnace if they did not bow down to his idol. This is the response that you had to the loss of Lois. Let me just say the words. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing. A little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable or give me the strength to be able to sing, it is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. I know the sorrow, I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. And then the song ended with this refrain, "It is well with my soul." Steve, your story has a powerful testimony of your trust in God during perhaps the most difficult day and time period of your life. And you remain an inspiration to us, my brother. Thanks for sharing and thanks for letting us tell others how God's blessed you.
Well, Jim, thank you for walking with me. And bless all of you guys as you walk with your friends because they need you. Be there for them. Thanks, guys.
You can contact Steve and Jim through our email, menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. Until next time, we wish you God's grace and wisdom in every phase of your life's journey. And remember, our goal is to become transformed to the character of Jesus Christ.